Hey everyone, I'm Alex Cantor.
And I'm Lily Rosenthal.
Welcome to our podcast, Hot Pastrami.
We are coming to you from our favorite booth at Cantor's Deli here in LA.
We're going to invite some of our friends to join us for a chat over some matzo ball soup and pastrami sandwiches.
So join us for new episodes of Hot Pastrami every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts. See you soon. Bye.
I've been recording for the last, I don't even know how long. It's on there. That's how we opened the show. I opened the show singing the other day. You opened the show talking about horse dick this time. Urbano's here, just in case you didn't know.
Hello.
Chris is here, too.
Hi.
Guys, listen. I'm going to level with you guys. We're really, really tired, okay? We've been working a ton. Been trying to do the best we can getting the shows out, but I think this might be like the actual recipe for a good show, actually.
Al's been playing a game called No One's Allowed to Leave, where he just asks us to do random tasks for hours. Let's have a meeting. Then I'm like, all right, this is Urbano. Tell me if this happened or not. I said, I will have a meeting, but I'm not going to talk about bullshit. I want to have this meeting. I want to go the fuck home, right?
Yep.
And we sat for a second. There was a major miscommunication as to finding each other in the building that we're all
I was walking around for 45 minutes
with a wine You knew where to go. You didn't show up.
I honestly didn't.
The meeting was going nowhere, and Al was like, want to go talk about bullshit for 30 minutes?
No.
And we just didn't
say
no.
That's not what happened.
And then he had a conversation with a fake nurse for an hour.
That's not what happened.
She's an RM.
That's not what happened. Okay? What happened was I was trying to actually have the meeting, and Urbano goes, I think we should wake up in the morning and have this meeting.
Yeah,
we should approach this with fresh eyes.
Yeah, we should approach this with fresh eyes. That's what he said.
We didn't even start talking.
I know.
I was here to like the wee hours last night, writing emails, doing all this craziness. We have a very big concert happening at the hotel, and I'm spending a lot of time preparing. And you know, look, we've got a lot of hard labor, a lot of good things happening, but at the same time, we're a lot of things we're taking on ourselves. And I think. Yeah, everybody had it. There was no conversation to be had. So now it was like, oh, hey, you want a pod? And I turned a corner, and I heard a brief pause, and I looked at Urbano. I turned around, and I said, Chris just shrugged his shoulders and looked at you like you wanted to leave, didn't he? And Urbano was like, no. And Chris was like,
I appreciate that.
I won't lie, I did.
It was a stink face, though. I didn't shrug. I gave a face like, there's an emoji for the exact
I
got to
be honest. Urbano knew Chris, you know, for he had a couple year head start on me. But I will say this. At this stage, okay, I kind of feel like you should look at us both the same.
I do, but different.
Like, I was hurt by the cover up a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
All right. Let's ask Brenda's question. Wait, do we have other things to talk about? I got nothing.
I mean, we have questions.
All right.
Let's go.
Checking in, you know. Dear Albie and Caroline, strike one. My daughter has been
You know what? I'm going to answer what mom would say.
Okay. You want to be mom for this?
Yeah.
Okay. My daughter has been constantly complaining about her boyfriend of a year and a half. The complaining didn't start until after they moved in together. We always loved her boyfriend and thought that they were a good match. But really, recently, he has been coming home later than usual, no explanation, hanging out with his friends over her, and just not putting in the effort like he used to. For reference, he's 28 and she's 26, so not a huge age difference. As her mother, I feel bad for my daughter and tell her how maybe moving in together wasn't the best idea. However, they seem like they wanted to take that step in a relationship at the time. She says how they still have great moments, but not as many as they did before, and she's just sad most days. As a mom, should I just take a step back and let her figure it out for herself? Or should I tell her to pack her bags and come home? Does this even happen in relationships when couples move in together? I wasn't allowed to move in with a boyfriend until marriage, so I wouldn't know. Any advice would be greatly appreciated, Margaret.
I will say this. If your daughter wanted mom's advice, she'd probably fucking ask for it. You're the one that's airing out her laundry. I feel
yeah,
like
Margaret.
It's a little... Margaret, I don't know that it's your place to ask this question.
Yeah,
I prefer to call her Marguerite.
Yeah, Marguerite, mind your business. Got nothing to do with you.
I mean, look...
Listen, you don't know, man. You don't know the relationship, okay? He might, maybe that's just always who he's been, and she never realized it because they didn't live together.
Yeah.
Or maybe, I don't know, maybe she's like, who knows? This is a lot. First of all, they're young to be living together. Second of all, yeah, I just don't know if you know enough about the situation for me. I feel like I'm giving advice to someone to give advice to someone. If mom were here, she'd probably have something better than that to say.
She'd use the word integrity, I'm sure.
Yeah, she, family, she would say. But no, I got nothing on this one. Sorry.
Yeah, mind your business. Just let her, you know, let her talk to you. And then at the end of the day, got nothing to do with you, Marguerite.
I think people are going to learn, like, we're very close to how we actually are in real life when we do this podcast. But who we are in real life is much more curt. Like, it's much more short, and it's much more, it's way less friendly.
Who's curt?
I think people are either going to really like it or really dislike it.
I'll tell you what. You know what a big advantage was this from, like, generations ago, besides, like, social media not being a thing? People's parents and, like, the family nucleus, I think, was a lot closer in generations before for whatever reason. I just kind of feel that way. But they weren't letting couples move in together until they were married. Yeah. Now, I'm a big proponent of living together before you're married to know what you're getting into. But maybe it screws up more things. But maybe that's a good thing.
Aren't they adjusting still? Like, maybe he's kind of like, yo, like, she's taking up all my life. Like, yeah. I need a minute. Like, versus before, you went to each other and left. Now you're with each other. So the leaving is without each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, that stresses, I can understand that because there is a level of like wanting kind of like to adjust to things on your own and wanting your own space.
Yeah.
Especially if this is the first time you live with somebody, because that could be very overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, it doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. You're just like, hey, I need a minute. I don't know. I feel like I do think though, I'm a different person when I live alone versus when I live with someone else. I'm more self-resilient, obviously, I think you have to be, when I'm living alone. You know what I mean? Where it's a little bit different when you're living with other people. But, you know, from the mom standpoint, look, I don't think you, quote-unquote, take a step back, right? But at the same time, you also have to let her figure it out for herself because she's got to mature in this. Like, look, you guys aren't like, when you're in a relationship and you're living together, it is different than saying, oh, I'm living with my guy friends. Because you can spend every waking moment with your guy friends or like split up and do your own thing and you don't feel this sense of obligation to be with each other every second. When you feel that weird sense of obligation for the first time, it could feel like a lot. So you got to be patient with the dude and you guys got to relearn each other and what fits when.
Yeah.
You ever live with a guy?
No.
Never?
Just my kids. No. Mm. No.
Would you?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think so. It'd be hard now to share my space with someone. It's been a while.
Don't look at me in the eyes and tell me the truth right now.
Yes.
Okay. For the community.
Okay.
About a month ago.
Okay.
I got Urbano a painting of the Virgin Mary.
Yes.
Is it hung up or not?
It is not hung up, but
you told me
it is laying on the floor beneath where I'm going to hang it.
Hmm.
So it's in the place.
Yeah.
And because it's something that shouldn't be there, every time I see it, I'm like, oh, I have to frame it. I have to frame it. So I have to attach it to the wall somehow.
It's
I just haven't done it yet. But it's super cool. I just have to figure out how I want to put it up.
Mm.
Al buys people paintings when they don't ask for them. So the other day he was talking to us how he's going to give the man who works in the corner a painting of Frank Sinatra, not having any idea whether or not he even likes Frank Sinatra. He just thought it was a good fit.
You know what's funny? When I sat with him, and I said, hey, man in the corner, you much of a Sinatra guy? And he's like, who's not? But at the same time, like, not like, you know. And like in that moment, everyone says the same thing. Not like Patsy Sinatra guy, like pictures of them everywhere, right? But like, I've got a really cool painting of Sinatra that frankly, I didn't ask for.
Frankly, nice.
Okay, nice, very cool.
Yeah.
But I do this thing where if I, you know.
Frank Lee.
I tend to wake up and find out that I bought things. And I bought an inflatable hot tub this way. I bought an electric bicycle. And I bought a variety of paintings. Yep. And they threw in some extras.
Yep.
One of them was a Frank Sinatra thing, a couple of nudes from our friend Ocean Clark.
Yeah.
Great. Hoboken artist.
Super cool. Super really cool pics.
And I just curious. I was like, oh, this speaks to me. This is like the Virgin Mother. I was like, that's clearly Urbano.
I love it. I just haven't put it up yet. Thank you.
Anyway, hope that helps you, Marguerite.
Yeah.
You know what else?
Probably not. Probably didn't.
I'll tell you what.
Because anyway, hope that helped you, Marguerite. 20 minutes after talking about pain, things from Ocean Collider.
You know what could help, Marguerite?
What's that?
One Farm is an Austin, Texas-based wellness group that lets nature lead when harnessing the healing powers of plants to support your daily life with our USDA-certified organic natural remedies. One Farm is dedicated to sustainably creating plant-based products with USDA organic fair trade ingredients sourced directly from the people who grow them. This includes their CBD products made with organic hemp grown by One Farm on their family farm in Boulder County, Colorado. One Farm combines the highest quality CBD with powerful organic botanicals like turmeric, shaga, and maca. Hope I'm saying these things right, to make some of the most effective remedies available. Oh, I just know when to take it. It makes me feel nice. One Farm's array of natural remedies may help you manage your immune system, support anxiety, pain, sleep, irritated dry skin, blemishes, and promote general health and wellness. USDA certified, organic, sustainably farmed, and ethically developed. One Farm uses the BEST nature S has to offer to bring you sustainable USDA organic natural remedies. We know nature can design ingredients better than any laboratory. But each natural ingredient contains proprietary blend, something to each other, proprietary blend of nutrients that has been perfected over time to harmoniously work together. One Farm oversees every aspect of production and packaging. Every remedy has independently verified third-party testing. If you're interested, go to onefarm.com/coupon/DearAlbie. That's onefarm.com/coupon/DearAlbie. onefarm.com/coupon/DearAlbie. I wish I had some CBD to dried out my senses.
Was that off the dome?
Don't laugh at me while I try and secure the bag.
That was the BEST, bro.
What was so bad about that?
That was not your BEST.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
It was just, I was like, wow, what is BEST? And I was like, oh,
you sounded
the best?
Like the pageant girl that was like, such as, such as.
I know I didn't. No, I didn't. I didn't think it was that bad.
No. America's a great country because it's in the United States.
You read the next one then.
No.
No, come on.
He's like, from Austin, Texas, by way of Boulder, Colorado, it's a farm.
No.
One Farm.
All right, chime.
I thought it was good.
It was very good.
No, you did great. But I will say, and I'm sure they're paying you enough that I shouldn't say this, I'm sure I'll get it out, but you got to shorten the pitch. You got to shorten the pitch. That was like Bone Thugs and Harmony shit. That was way too much in a short period of time.
I didn't think so.
That was 32 bars. It was not 16.
I read from the thing.
No, it was a lot. No, but that was good, though.
You did your best, but that is a lot. That is a lot of ad. That's a lot of ad.
Hey, listen. Look, I think the community is into us like, you know, we're like Wayne's World, okay? And now people are down, okay, to jump on the train and sell their CBD to the community. You got to hear, have you heard that one of the vibrator ads?
No.
Those are great. Honestly, like this
you should
is why
end it with go fuck yourself every time.
I get so into reading the vibrator ad because I get to talk about the vibrator that I recommend because it goes under the labia.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And last time I read it in front of mom. And I don't think she saw it coming. Ooh. No good. Yeah, a lot of good things have been happening with that, you know?
But ever since you know what? Next question.
Well, here's the thing, right? Somewhere I like to think that, like, you know, I do actually look into the products. I do actually try a lot of the products. No joke, okay?
Well, how'd you like that one?
The vibrator? So hold on, right? This is where I'm going with this. I can't try that one, obviously, okay? Well. And you know, personally.
Well.
And I say to myself, okay, self, I wonder if, you know, because we have the promo codes, and I hope we support all of our sponsors the way they support us, right? That people are reading up and listening to what we have to say, ordering the Dame products, okay? They're wonderful, okay? And if they are, I wonder how many Climaxes we're responsible for.
How many satisfied customers?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, they should chime in.
That would be good to know.
Yeah. Come at me, bro.
Yeah, if you guys are using that, let us know.
Let us know.
Anyway, dear Albie and crew, I've been dating this new guy for almost 3 months now. We met on Tinder. I know, the hookup app. But we really hit it off on our first date. We have a great connection, and he's already met all of my friends, and I have met most of his. We keep in contact every day and see each other almost every weekend. He acts like I'm his girlfriend and talks about future trips and dates we should do. By this point, I'm thinking that we are exclusive. However, recently one of my closest friends was on the dating app and sent me a screenshot of his account, still activated. This is in caps. I was in shock when she sent this to me. I honestly don't know what to do. Do I bring it up to him and say, what the fuck? Or do I play it cool and just come to the terms that he isn't looking for a relationship? But I really want a relationship with him, but I'm too scared to ask because in the past that usually scares men away. Please help. Julia. It's Julia, but, you know.
Yeah, just ask him. Just ask him, like, what is this? What are we doing? Where are we at? And plus, I think you should know for your own kind of sexual well-being as well. Like, you know, if you're being intimate with someone, it's always good to know if they're being intimate with other people just to protect yourself, I think.
I think the what the fuck approach is a terrible idea because you haven't had that conversation. It doesn't seem like, but you should say like, hey, also, you know what else? Hearing that someone screenshotted my profile and sent it would be very intrusive feeling to me.
Yeah.
Like there's a chance he just hasn't opened it. And regardless, he's probably going to tell you he hasn't opened Tinder in however much time. So your best thing would be like, hey, are you still on Tinder? If he says no, then he lied. And there's no reason you don't, it's not on your tab to teach him a lesson. Just be like, cool, and then never talk to him again. Or be like, listen, I kind of like where this is going, and I'd prefer if, you know, you didn't try to meet new people. But don't do the what the fuck thing, because it doesn't sound like you had a conversation about this, and then you're going to look like you didn't get what was going on, because he probably thinks it's a whole different thing than you do.
Chris, I'm not usually in the praising you mood. That was very good advice, because now you know.
Yeah.
And it's the more you know.
Yeah.
And once you know.
That was really good by me.
Yeah. It really was. But no, honestly, I think that's a good move. But look, you know what I think also kind of scares men off in that moment? Like, listen, if you are, no big deal. Okay. But I just want to know because I'll just do my thing too.
Well, plus he might not realize that she's really into him. So maybe he has that as like a plan B. Like, yo, if this doesn't work out, at least I got Tinder.
Maybe you're not checking it no more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or maybe he has it just as a backup, just in case maybe he's into this girl. He doesn't know if she's not into him. And it's just a lot of unsaid. So just ask him, like, yo, what's the deal? Where are we at? What are we doing?
I think that getting to the point and just telling somebody how you feel is always a good policy, because if you're playing it a certain way because you're scared you're going to scare somebody off, then
good,
what is the
be
point?
Gone. Bye.
What is the point?
Yeah. Get out.
What is the point?
Go swipe left somewhere else.
Do you use any apps?
No.
I'm staring at you. You don't have Grindr or anything?
Nothing.
He's lied to me once today.
No. I will show you my phone.
I believe you enough.
Yeah, no, it's weird. Because then you're like, wait a minute.
I also don't think it's something like when we lived with Greg, right? We're talking about like 12 years ago or 11 years ago. And it was much more of a thing to have an app because like you need, that's how you meet people.
Yeah.
And like, even now, like, I think gay bars are going to be not a thing soon.
Well, no, because
there'll always be a thing. Like,
yeah, but
a club.
You're at a bar and they're on Grindr. You're like, bro, you're 5 feet
but
away.
But I feel like that doesn't it anymore. Like, you could walk through any bar and find a gay guy, I think, now.
Usually.
Where at one point it was like, no, you can go to these five bars.
Yeah. No, they were always there. They were just waiting in the bathroom.
Gotcha.
But now it's just different. Plus, it's weird. It's like,
you know what's crazy? No. I was in a meeting last week, and a guy was talking to me about, he was like, hey, you know, I want to open a spa, you know, and, you know, I want to kind of just like, you know, what kind of, how would you do a spa? Like, what's the way that, like, the way you guys think, the way we think here, like, you guys are doing things super different all the time. What's a different way to do a spa? So we're talking about it, you know, rattling ideas off the top of my head. And he goes, you know, just, you know, because the last time I went to a spa, you know, he was calling a bathhouse, and he said everywhere that he went, guys were doing each other.
Yeah.
He goes, everywhere. He goes, and these are people, like, I'd walk into a thing and there was somebody that I knew, you know, I recalled you saying that.
Yeah.
That, Yeah, that's like a
the guys do each other.
In the
that was a great
in
phrase.
The spa.
Guys are doing each other.
Why? I mean, that's what he said.
At every corner.
Just doing each other in every corner.
Doing each other.
That sounds like something got edited out of a movie on USA.
No, but he was saying it in a way that he was like, you know, he was like, it's crazy to me because whenever I've been to a spa, I'd walk into guys just doing it.
Yeah.
But not that it was the way that he was saying it wasn't shocked by the act. It
just
was,
that the where.
Yeah. He was just like, you know.
Yeah.
What is it about the spa?
There's nakedness. There's opportunity and skin. That's really what it is. It's like, oh, we're alone. I have a towel on and you have nothing. Let's see what happens.
Me and Urbana would commute back and forth to Hoboken every day. And every day he'd be like, that guy showed me his dick in the spa. And every time that guy was walking with a lady and his children. Like
always.
Every single time.
Always.
Watch your mans is what I'm getting at, ladies.
The random one. Hey, dear Albie, just curious. Don't have an actual question, but want to know. What is your most awkward sexual encounter for you and anyone else that is there? Hope mom isn't there. Well, geez.
That would be awkward.
That would have been awkward.
Yeah.
Because she would have answered. Well, dad would have been like, well, you know. I'll tell you what, I'm way over here. Like, he would definitely do that. Yeah, he really is the best.
Most awkward
show,
sexual encounter?
Yeah, that's the really end of the point there.
I have a feel.
You know what I'm thinking, though? What's this person's name?
They didn't have a name. It was on Instagram.
What happened that day that you were like, I'm going to send a message right now to Dear Albie and ask about the weirdest fuck moment of their life?
Yeah. Basically, it says, I have a question, but I'm curious before I ask, what is your most awkward sexual encounter? It was the whole thing, but I have the clip.
Most awkward sex? I don't know. Probably most.
I'm trying to think.
Have you ever, let me ask you this, Bono. I'm sure I've got a lot of these. Have you ever kind of just like, throwing it at someone, or like, you know, made a move, whatever, and it just went nowhere, like flat, cold, terrible.
Oh, yeah.
And like, so like, can you think of one off the top of your head?
Oh, so many. No.
Really? So many?
Yeah, because it's kind of weird because it really depends or I'm trying to think. Yeah, maybe. I can't remember. It's too many to choose from. Yeah, like, or after a hookup, you'd be like, yeah, here's my number. You should call me. And then they never call. And you're like, was it me? Was it you? Was it the fake name?
I kissed a girl once, and it was a little painful. This is in college. And she took her teeth out.
Oh.
I went, ouch. Oh, sorry. Took her teeth out. That's probably my most awkward. I was a sophomore.
Wow.
Sophomore, freshman, sophomore, whatever it was. And that was some shit. Instead of a skiing accident.
This isn't me, but I do have a funny story about a friend of mine. And I'm not doing a friend of mine and it was me. I would tell you if it was me. But I was – we were actually filming at 10th and Willow.
Oh, shit.
Years ago. And a friend of mine who will remain nameless because he doesn't deserve this. but you'll both know who he is just from the fucking story. Like, I'm not even going to give you a hint. But we got – Al, you were there when we were filming A 10th and Willow. We did a thing, and me, you, and Lauren were talking about something. And we got, like, mangled. Like, we were doing Urbano was a waiter at the time at this place that we were filming at. And Angel, which, you know, love Angel. He's probably never going to be on the podcast, but love Angel. But actually, I think he was when we did 10th Street, didn't we? Didn't he come in and do a thing? No, when we did the...
Oh, he might have. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Urbano was... How we met Urbano was we ran a pizza place together, but also before that... He was like the manager of the bar that we like religiously went to in Hoboken. And that's how I was like, oh, Urbano's like a great guy. That's how we like, you know, started becoming, well, I dropped a quarter. I got it like that. So we, anyway, we got really fucked up at 10th and Willow. And then we leave filming and we go to the bar next door. At the time it was called Turtle Club. And it's like, I can only describe her as a cougar, an older woman, like in her probably 40s, started talking to my friend. And she was really drunk, and so was he. So he wasn't doing a take advantage thing. He was pretty obviously he was fucked up. Because you'll hear what I'm about to say. They were just like violently making out with each other, and she fell off her stool, and they were sharing a stool, and she fell off, he stayed on, and she smacked her fucking face on the floor like hard, and oh, I almost said his name, and he ran to the bar and he got an ice pack and he put it on her cheek. And then they, like, very softly made out with each other. But, like, and he held the ice pack up to her cheek. And they just, like, kissed. No. And he was like, are you okay? Like, between breaths. And me and the producers, Launchy and Jacob and all those guys, Launchy was a camera guy. Jacob was our producer. And Brett, a few of the other camera guys. We sat back and we just watched this kid hold an ice pack up to her chin while they made out, like, really delicately. It was the fucking best. That was one of the most awkward. I wasn't a part of it, but being right there for the whole thing, watching the bar staff, and it was like a Tuesday night at midnight, so it was like not a packed bar. Like, the whole staff was like, this guy's really holding an ice pack on her chin while they make out really softly.
That was good.
This isn't a hookup story, but it is a friend story that was pretty messed up. Someone that will remain nameless. We had a girlfriend we were very cool with that I had known for like a long time that was trying to talk to a friend of ours. This is in our Hoboken days. And there was a blizzard.
I definitely know who you're talking about already.
There was a blizzard that happened like when we had first gotten to Hoboken. And like, I remember walking up the hill and like, stomp and turning around, like it was like climbing Everest. Like, Greg was gone, Chris was gone, like, I didn't know what was going on. So we ended up at a bar where everybody was at, and she was there and was there with our mutual friend. It was like, oh, you know, I'm like, well, how's it going, you know, trying to talk to him, whatever, all right, cool. So she, like, you know, really really fun girl, pretty girl, like, you know, and super super like just confident person, and for whatever reason she was like pounding shots that night. Oh. And I found that like her friends were there, but nobody was drinking as much. She was really trying to lead the charge. I don't know if she was nervous or whatever. And she goes, hey, I'm going to have a cigarette. Come have a cigarette with me. I'm like, you don't smoke. She's like, I'm having a cigarette. I'm like, all right, man. Okay. So I go back. She's like, oh, we got to talk, right? And she's sitting down. And I guess, like, I don't know, had gone through a breakup, whatever. And we're having a conversation. And I noticed she's not saying anything for a while. Right. And I'm like, are you all right? Like, what's going on? She goes, I'm fine. Like, looks down and looks back up at me. She's, I'm fine. I'm fine. All right. Well, what's going on? She's like, I peed a little bit. She goes, I wasn't feeling good. I wanted someone to walk me outside because she wasn't smoking. I peed a little bit. I'm like, I go, right now, like right now, like, not a dead ass. It's like before Uber. Like, it was like when it was $5 to go anywhere in Hoboken, right? I'm like, what do you mean you peed a little bit? She's like, no. Like, I go, well, that's a problem. Like, you got to go home. Well, nah, like, it wasn't a problem at the time, but it's gotten cold now. And I don't know if I could stand up. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know if you could stand up? She's like, not because I peed before, but I've been like, I guess, I don't know what, she got wasted. And the dude came out here, and you know, I was like, I don't want to say, like, bro, not right now. And I called the cab. That was one of the most awkward conversations of my whole life.
Yeah.
Getting my drunk, pee-filled friend to get in a cab. That was weird. That was a weird one.
I bought one of my friends back from a pimp once.
Like, you bought him back?
Yeah. Now it's story time. Let's just do it. Same friend. Same friend as the ice pack story. Do you guys have a guess in your head of who it is?
You know exactly.
But you know what, though? Right. Before that happens, I mean, you know what he could really use? You know, gaps in the diet shouldn't be ignored, Chris? Over 97% of women aged 19 to 50 are not getting enough vitamin D. Hey, Urbano. Hey.
19-year-olds really got to get
19 to 50-year-olds are not getting enough vitamin D in their diet, and 95% aren't getting the recommended daily intake of key omega-3s. Ritual Essential for Women 18+ multivitamin was formulated by exhaustive research to help fill nutrient gaps in the diets of women age 18+. It is formulated with nutrients to help support brain health, bone health, blood health, and provide antioxidant support. But Ritual didn't stop there. They invested a gold standard university-led clinical trial to prove the impact of Essential for Women 18+ multivitamin. The results, Essential for Women 18+, was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in 12 weeks. Ritual is committed to third-party testing from USP and the non-GMO Project Traceable and vegan-friendly ingredients, and always clear communication, no shady stuff. I actually do take these. They're wonderful.
Nice.
And I like the clarity. I've talked about them before. The transparency in ingredients is big. Because you know why, Urbano? I said this before. Shady stuff happens out there.
It does.
Shady stuff. Okay.
I have a shady stuff story.
Okay.
I decided it's better to not tell my story.
Well, right now, Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/DearAlby and turn healthy habits into a ritual. That's 10% off at ritual.com/DearAlby.
So I have an awkward, it wasn't me, it was a friend. We were in Palm Springs and I had a room and I kind of went out in the morning and I had some coffee and I was by the pool and my friend comes running up to me and it was like 8 o'clock and he was like, I need wheat bread. And I was like, what? He said, can you go to the store and get me wheat bread? And I was like, sure, I'm going to get a coffee. So I take somebody else's car, I go get a coffee, I get the wheat bread, I come back, I go to go in my room and my door's locked. And I'm like, who's in my
there
room?
Alone or?
Yeah, like we all had separate rooms. It was like five of us. We all had our own rooms. And I was like, why is my door locked? So I go out into the backyard and I realize that my outside door was open. So I open the door and there's this naked man laying in my bed with the biggest testicles I had ever seen in my life. And my friend naked strewn about above him. And I look, and then man with the swollen testicles sees my eyes bulge.
Was it Nicki Minaj's cousin?
Bro, I have no idea.
Did you hear that story?
Yes, I did. This was before COVID shots, so it wasn't due to the vaccine. So the guy, all I see is his eyes looking, and I see his eyes and his balls. And in my head, I am like, why are those on my bed? And so the guy, like, completely panics, and I'm like, no words spoken. So I storm out of my room and I go out into the little patio area where the pool was. And the man comes out and he's trying to grab all his clothes. And he's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And he runs out. And then like 2 days later, I see him and he was like, I am sorry that I was with your husband. And I said, what? He was like, well, you were giving me such looks. I thought you were mad that I was with your husband. I was like, no. I was like, what's wrong with your balls, bro? He was like, no, they are just very big. So that was it. I don't know where he was from, but he had an accent. And he thought I was mad, but I just was amazed. That was it.
I'm trying to think of something else. I got plenty of them. I
didn't want to buy the back from the pimp?
I guess I'll tell you, but it's fucked up. We were out and we were pretty fucked up and we were in the city and Al's leaving, but I'm going to tell the story as if he's not. And I'm not going to say where we were at or anything, but we got in the Uber and my buddy wanted to get food. So we put in like a food order at a food stand. So I'm texting and I'm waiting on the Uber and I look at the Uber driver and I'm like, I know who I'm dealing with. I'm like, he wouldn't take this long. Like, he's gone. He's like, hey, you could just go cancel the trip or whatever you got to do. So I leave, I go to the halal stand, and I'm like, hey, have you seen my buddy? He's tall. He's a tall guy, like, you know, looks like this and that, whatever. And he's like, yeah. He ordered like five things of food and left. He's like, all right. He's like, well, now you have to pay me if that's your friend. I'm like, well, I'm not going to leave this guy in the dust, so I pay the guy. I'm like, leave the food here, though. I'm like, there's no chance of me getting this fucking food. Like, there's not a prayer. Should I restart the story when Al gets here?
No, so good.
So anyway.
I'm into it now.
So now I pay this halal guy food, right? And I'm like, all right, here's the money. So I'm like, where could he possibly be? So now I just see like, I hear like, boom, 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 boom. I'm like, all right, he's probably near that, whatever it is. And lo and behold, he's outside. He's talking to like three girls he's really drunk, but they're clearly hookers. Like clearly prostitutes. Pretty, but prostitutes. And I'm like, hey, are you ready to get out of here? I bought the halal, the Uber driver's waiting out front, like I'm like $100 in on this departure right now, and I'm hoping to get the fuck out of here soon. And he's like, no, these girls are trying to hook up. I was like, no, not really. I'm sure they're interested in you enough, but we gotta go. No, you're not listening to me. These girls want it. And I was like, well, they want it the way that dude wants to drive you home and that motherfucker wanted to make you halal. They're in the business of doing so. I was like, so they don't want you. They want your money. The same way, again, this man didn't want to put shawarma on the plate. He just did it because you asked him to, and there's a money transaction. And I don't think you realize that's what's happening here. So now this person walks up while I'm talking to these three ladies and my friend. And this guy walks up, and when I say a pimp, I mean a fucking pimp. Like, everything short of a Halloween costume with, like, a tiger stripe on a purple velvet robe. But, like, super flashy. And he's like, what's the problem? I'm like, there's no problem. My friend here is under the impression that these lovely young ladies are in it for the love of the game. And I'm trying to explain to him that that's not the case. And then I just want to move about my day. And he goes, well, he's with me now. The pimp points to my friend and says, he's with me now. So I'm like, well, this is weird, you know. And I look at my friend like, can you believe the situation we got ourselves into here? And he goes, I'm with him. I said, I'm sorry, fucking what? He's like, yeah, I'm with him. He believes me. I'm like, he doesn't believe you, bro.
He believes me.
We gotta go. It's 3:30 in the morning. We're in the meatpacking district. Nothing good happens after 2 a.m. We gotta go. I have an Uber. I have food. I have everything you need. Let's go. And this guy goes, $100. I let him go. So I'm like, my man, I'm not paying you to, you know what? I might pay you for this because now it's funny. But I'll give you $20. There's been no, this has been 15 minutes of your time. You've lost no opportunity. $20. I'm out of here. 100. Fuck me. So my friend looks at me and he's like, 100, you heard him. And I'm like, oh, fuck you. I'm about to let you become a sex slave. I don't care. So now he goes, 100. I'm like, it's not 100. I'm not doing that. I will literally let you live with this man. I don't care. I said, listen, $60. 60. And you have to get me a cab. You have to pay for the cab. You got to hail it. Like, I need a service provided. He's like, show me the money. I give him the $60. And to his credit, he hails at a cab. He's like, this young man's going to Hoboken. And he was super, and we shook hands and we were good. Oh, but I had to literally buy my friend back from a pimp.
Hysterical.
Al's not here. Al left.
So let's talk about that honey.
Is that an app?
That's not true. No, but well, honey, they sponsor too. They're nice. Love you all. I was here. I knew that story. But love you all.
He wasn't here. He left.
Such a good story, Al.
But no, this was fun.
Yeah, what you think of the end?
Awesome. He bought him back. I'm glad he's back.
He bought him back.
I'm glad he's back. We love you guys. All you guys. I think my ad reads are great.
Yeah.
I do. But we're going back to work. Catch you guys later.
Bye.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.